Let me read a couple of verses and then we'll pray. And then you can be seated. My wife can sit down. She's been playing for a while. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I would like to preach to you for a few moments on the topic, remember your King. And I'd like to ask them to pray for us.
Jesus, I pray for this service, Lord God, that you should have your hand over each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, open up our minds, our hearts, and our ears, and let us receive this message in any way needed and apply it through our lives in any way, whether it's at school or work.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. No, I'm not going to preach about the end time. I'm going to preach about now time. And Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Without expounding too long, the Lord says, who is like unto this steward that I'm speaking of in this parable? And then he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. That's encouraging. You get beaten a whole lot or you get beaten a little. Either way, you're going to get beaten. For unto whom, I hear some of them now, go ahead and try and beat me. I don't have to do it. God will do it for you. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. This text is a little more than what it appears. There are what I would say several undercurrents to it. Of course, there's what we see. There is talk of end time. There is comparisons of those that are ready, those that watch. There's really a lot here, but there is more than meets the eye. Maybe I should title it that, huh, Troy? The Lord dealt with me about this topic about a week ago, and I feel strongly compelled to bring it to you tonight. Now, I'm not looking up, so I don't know, but I just want to remind you, if you like to talk while somebody else is speaking, you will reap what you sow. Don't get offended when you're trying to talk and people are talking over you. Now, I don't see that. I just felt like I should say that to you. So Jesus ends by saying to us, whom much is given, much is required. When you go back to point out a few things, he begins by saying, let your light burn. Meaning, don't blow out the candle. Continue to work, even if it means through the wee hours of the night. Do your work. Fulfill your calling. He further expounds upon this as he teaches us to be like men who are waiting for their master. And when he comes, they immediately open, which means they are always mindful of their duties. They're always mindful of their responsibilities, always mindful of their commitments. Men like those waiting for their master to open immediately, which is a reference of serving. They are serving always, always on guard, always waiting for their Lord to come home. And then Jesus very clearly teaches us what happens to those who are slothful in their duties, if you please. And he asks the question in verse 42, who then is that faithful steward? So if I were the Lord tonight, and you were the crowd, the disciples that were gathered around him while he was teaching, to summarize, I would look at you and I would say, who is this faithful steward that we're talking about in this text? And I would look you in the eyes and I would wait for somebody to respond. Who is like this faithful steward? Who is watching for their Lord to come? I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the master coming to claim that which is his from those whom he left in charge with what is his. I'll tell you what church is, and I'm going to tell you what ministry is. It is you and I taking upon us the responsibilities that the Lord has left in the hands of humanity. Ministry, which we are all called to in one respect or another, is serving the Lord and His cause and His purpose. It's not serving our own causes. It's not serving our lifestyle that we pursue after. It's not serving our interests. If you want me to be clearly and plainly honest with you, it's serving the interest of God in our lives. The only way people struggle to serve God is because they're serving flesh, and the flesh does not like to give what is the Lord's. But the flesh always, as I told somebody tonight, desires more. When you feed your flesh, the flesh is going to want more. That's why sometimes it's dangerous to miss church, especially if you're missing because you know deep down inside the flesh doesn't want to go. And when you feed the flesh will always come back demanding more. In this parable, it can be summarized by saying to you, whom much is given, much is required. The Lord concludes this text by speaking those words. Again, to quickly recap, he says, let your light continue to burn. Keep your candle lit and work as long as you must. And then he compares it to the servants that wait. They're always at their master's beck and call. That's what it means by waiting. They're there at the door ready if he should come home at any moment. Who is like this faithful servant that we speak of? Who is that faithful steward, he says. The word steward just means a manager or an overseer or an employee. I could say it this way. You are an employee of the kingdom of God in whatever you do. You are his employee. Now that might not mean too much today because we got a bunch of spoiled brats working in the workforce today that think their employer owes them something and they think they should be able to demand a minimum wage and they should be able to get off whenever they want and do whatever they want and the work shouldn't be too hard or I'm going to complain and call it slave labor. But in reality, an employee is, I hire you, you do the job that I hire you for. If you don't like it, then go get a job somewhere else. Period. That's what an employee is. Employees don't come in here and negotiate the wages. I will tell you what I'm going to pay. If we are employees of the kingdom, we don't come and negotiate what God does for us. He says, this is what I will give you. And his payment, we all know, is eternity. His payment is to be with him through all of time. His payment is a crown to wear, per se, upon our head. His payment is his grace. His payment is his mercy. Are you with me? He says, him will I make a ruler over much. It reminds me of the text that says, if you'll be faithful in little, he'll make you a ruler over kingdoms. The reason some people do not have any authority as far as leadership is because they've not been faithful in the little things. Say it again. This is not a job. I know I said you're an employee, a different kind of employee. You don't get to pick what you want to do. We do what our employer asks us to do. And so, if you be faithful in the smallest things, when Colin started his job, I told him, I said, do the extra that nobody else will do. Go the extra mile. I said, one day you'll probably be the manager of that place if you choose to stick around and do so. And I mean that. I believe that because as somebody who was an employer for years, I know what an employer looks for. It's not lazy, sloppy people. It's not people all preach right now. It's not people that are always making excuses on why they're late every day. I'm preaching to you now. It's all right. You can receive it. It's not people making an excuse on why they can't come in today. An employer looks for somebody that's reliable, somebody that will show up, and somebody that won't bellyache all the time about the job. That's what an employer wants. And if you want to be lazy and stubborn and do your own thing and live off your little $600 a month through the government, you go ahead and do that. You live that kind of life. But I want more. And so, somebody asked me about tithing tonight. Honest, sincere question. I want to be blessed of the Lord. I'm not going to demand of God. I'm going to give God what's his. And I'm going to trust God to do what he said he would do. He's my employer. And my employer said, if you'll return to me a portion of your wages that I gave you in the first place, I'll take care of all of your needs. And I'll bless you. And I'll let your increase overflow abundantly. And I can tell you tonight, that my employer has never failed me in his promise in that area. My employer has, I don't want to talk to people that don't believe in tithing. I don't care about your little petty, selfish position. I care about trusting my employer, and I care about doing what he asked me to do, and I know that he'll return it in kind. We still don't make the amount of money we made. When I worked full-time in 2003, how many years ago is that? 13, 23, it's almost 20 years ago. We still don't, but I'll tell you, God has blessed us with more. I'm not telling you a story. I'm not trying to make you feel better about the situation. I am telling you, God has given us more with less, because that's what happens when you do what your employer asks and you give what he asks you to return. God is better at taking care of his own than anybody in this world. I got a little off track, but I wanted to answer that. So he said, who much is given, much is required. I'm going to talk for a second. Is that okay? The Lord laid this on my heart. And I don't know why, and I don't know who it's for, and maybe it's for all of us, including me. I've always considered it for me. And here's what the Lord said to me. You want much? I'm going to ask for much. Most people won't say, I want much, because they don't know what much means. You want position? Do you want God to make you a leader? Then He's going to require of you. Don't bellyache when you're asked to go to a leadership meeting. And our folks don't do that. That's the truth. Don't bellyache when you're asked to be here for prayer. Don't bellyache when you're asked to do a little extra. Because if you want more, it's hard to preach this stuff, Gloria. Because then you always got somebody like, well, I didn't ask for it, Pastor. You pushed me into it. Yeah, because I got to push you into your blessing because you don't want any yourself. Don't go toe-to-toe with me. I'll win every time. You want a wife? God's going to expect you to take care of her and to lead her and to honor her as Christ loved the church. You want a husband that works and that supports his family? God's going to expect you to care for him. He's going to expect you to honor him as the Word. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. As the Word of God says, if you want it, well, Pastor, you know I do, but I don't know if I want who I got. Too late. You already got it. Now you're going to have to ask the Lord to make it what you want it to be. Make him or her what you want her to be. And you take care of him or her the way the Word says, and God will bless the union. You want a job? You want to make good money? There's going to be something required of you. You want God to bless you financially? Don't expect it to happen. If you want him to give you much, he will require much. This is the Bible. You know what that means? I'm going to tell you what that means. You can't say, I prayed for a wife for all these years and the Lord gave me a wife. Guess what? In 15 years, when you think you're done with that wife, ain't happening. You can't just walk out on her. He requires us to stay with her. He requires you to stay with him. Who much is given, much is required. You want God to bless your finances? He requires you to give him a portion. And then he will give back an old pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. But when he does that, who much is given, much is going to be required. You can't tithe when you're making $200 a week. Yeah, $20 ain't no problem. Then when you're making $2,000 a week, I don't know about writing $200. That's a lot of money, man. I don't know about that. Who much is given, much is required. Men and ladies, you want true ministry? It's not a little title to make you feel good about yourself when you're around other people so you feel like you've accomplished something in life. That's not what ministry is. It is a divine calling from on high. And if you want God to give you that calling, he's going to ask a lot from you. They said it. We want to follow you. He said, great. I'm going to ask you to leave your home, leave your land, leave it all. Abraham, you want to be blessed among all nations? Leave everything behind. I'll give you much, but I'll require much also. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you who we are. We are supposed to be the people of God. We got all kind of people in this world, in the church today. They want a crown, but they don't want to give nothing. They want to sit home and talk about, I don't need to be in a church to serve God. You don't have to tithe anymore. It's an Old Testament thing. Well, God don't expect me to go to everything the church. If he gives you much, he requires much. Yes, he does. Because he does not want us falling in love with the things of this life. Huh. So, if God has blessed you with salvation, with his peace, and with his anointing, you are indebted to him. Now, to help you out, indebted doesn't always mean you have to return in kind. And listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm smarter than what I look. In all the silly nonsense over the years, we're not saved by works. No joke, dingbat. I never said that. But I have said 1,000 times we are judged according to our works. That's the word. How come you never speak that one?
How come you never recite that scripture? Maybe it doesn't flow well with your little petty ideology that wants to do nothing but get, not give anything. So we're indebted to him, but not just to return, literally. Sometimes that indebtedness comes in other ways.
What do you mean?
Well, I feel, me personally, I'm indebted to the Lord to be a good representative of the gospel, of the kingdom of the Lord. That means I got to work on my personality. I got to work on my attitude. I got to work on the way I present myself. I got to work on how I represent him. He gave me much, and so I owe him much. So, you're not here because of your education. I want to make this very clear. Be all educated, folks. That's not why you're here. You're not here because you're good looks. You ain't here because you're white, you're black, because you're Chinese, Japanese. Doesn't matter. You ain't here for none of that stuff. That's not why you're here. You're not here because you got something to offer God. You have nothing to offer God. But what you do is have a debt that you choose to pay. And I'm going to give God everything that I've got. And it might not be much, but God will then take that and use it because he's not looking for your talent. We know all that. You ain't here because you're smart, your personality, because of how tall you are, how short and skinny or chubby you are. Yes, I use the word chubby. It sounds better than fat. And one person here found their way to the Lord. Not one person. Not one person. He found you. He found you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm indebted to him because he found me when I was a wanderer on my way to a devil's hell. But he reached down by some means and he found me. And I got news for you. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I wish everybody else was here, but maybe you can take it and you can share the love. But I got news for you. I don't follow man. I follow Jesus. You are a liar. You follow nobody because the Lord sent a man to your door. And I'm not just speaking about gender. He sent somebody into your life, somebody to speak to you. Well, no. I had this great epiphany of a moment and God, wonderful. Somebody followed that epiphany, Saul. There was a man that had to lead you afterwards to the prophet to pray over you.
What am I saying? You're indebted sometimes to sit under the people you don't like.
He never said, well, Hector, this is the Lord. I'm going to take you to this church tonight, Hector. Let me know if you like that preacher. And let me know if you like the music. And let me know if the chairs are soft. And if it works for you, Hector, I probably have you keep going there. No, he didn't. I don't know if there's anybody else here that says, well, the Lord asked me. That was the devil, I promise you. It wasn't the Lord. But have you ever noticed, well, for those of you here, I know I can say this too. There are probably a lot of people I couldn't. He didn't stop at salvation. But he kept on going. And he kept growing you. And he kept molding you. And he never gave up on you. He never quit. He never cut you off at the knees and left you out there to die when you fell, when you fell hard. Well, I wish I had some folks in here. Hold on a second. Don't comment yet. I wish I had some people that remembers where you were and how hard you fell and that God in his mercy rescued you because you owe him something. You owe him your life. You owe him your gratitude. You owe him your best and not the least or not the spare parts, but the best. You owe it to him. I didn't say the Lord requires it of you, even though the Bible says who much is given, much is required. He allows us to decide how much. I'll give you a few examples shortly. So after salvation, he didn't stop there. But he established you. And he gave you an identity. Come on. Where were you when you came into the church? Who knew about you? Who knew about your time? I'm not talking about your few little buddies. I'm not talking about your parents who some of them even disowned you, and I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not talking about your little inner circle. I'm just saying not many people knew you. I can tell you that nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who Scott R. Derry, and that's a truth. But I can tell you, I can go many places in this county now, and they know who I am. Not because I'm important or I'm special, because God has a way of highlighting those whom are His. He has a way when we give back to Him. He said, if you will be abased, I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will cause people to know who you are in Jesus' name and what our purpose is and our service to the kingdom of God. Everybody knew who Jesus was. They didn't all like Him, but they all knew who He was. Are you He that troubleth Israel? No, that was Elijah. I'm sorry. They knew who He was too. So He established you. I don't know what that means to you. It means everything to me. It means everything that God took nobody who had nothing for a future and He made him somebody. Not somebody important. Somebody in His eyes. Somebody usable for His kingdom. But I don't forget that. And so, I don't know about you, but I try not to make excuses on why I can't pray, and that's what they are. They're excuses. Got really quiet. No amens. But I know that I owe Him my time in the prayer room. I owe Him my ear so He can speak to me. I'm not saying I'm always as successful as I want to be, but I'll never stop trying because I feel indebted to the Lord and what He has done. You know what else He did? He set you apart. He set you apart. He pulled you out of this world. He made you somebody for His glory. He gave you an identity. He made you a name. That's what He did. That's why the Lord always changed the name of those who came to him in the Old Testament. He gave them an identity. Troy talked about Jacob tonight. He gave him a new name. Israel. Israel. He called you. Now I know for many people, the pulpit has just become a place of popularity. Look at me, look how great I am. Look how good I can sing. Look how great I can play. Look how good I can preach. But that's not what the pulpit is for. It's not for people to showcase their talents. It's for us to return to the Lord what He gave to me. He called you, anointed you with His anointing, positioned you. It was about 17 years ago. I lost my license. It weren't taken from me. I just couldn't afford to pay my dues. And I had to go back and stand before the board. And I had to give an account in order to get my license reinstated. It was a very humbling moment of my life. And I did not know that 17 years later I'd be sitting on the same board. That God would turn all of that on its head. Because He gives us identity. That identity shouldn't make us. It shouldn't make who we are. That's where pride comes in. But it should remind us of how God lifts up those who do their very best to keep Him first in their life. And He positions them. For what? To be a voice. When I was elected as a presbyter, I had several pastors who aren't even in our section that come to me, and they told me, they said, I believe that God has called you here to this board for this moment. I believe you have something that may have lacked or whatever that God is going to use you for. I don't know. I don't feel all that confidence in myself, but I know I want to go do my best. I know I love the kingdom. I know I love the ministry. I know I love the people of God. It's a privilege. It's a privilege He positioned you. Many of you right here tonight. And I say many because many are called, few are chosen. He'll call you. He calls everybody. But he might not be able to choose you because you're not willing to give back anything. But you have no idea where you will be 20 years from now. You have no idea what God is doing, how he's positioning you at this very moment. But you have to continue to give unto him. You reap what you sow. If you sow in abundance, you will reap in abundance. Oh, there are those that don't consider working for the Lord anything. I personally don't know, and my Bixby won't shut off. I don't know that there's any greater and higher calling in the world than to be used of God. Whether you are preaching, teaching, playing, singing, when you do it under the Lord, what greater honor could there be? Everybody has their own place. I'll never be one of those big name guys. I'll never, and I don't care. I really don't care. I don't have no ambitions to try and be the superintendent one day, and it'll never happen, I promise you, because I won't let it happen. I have no desire to be in that role if they ever were foolish enough to try and pull my name up. I don't need that. I just want to do what God calls me to do. I don't know if I'm boring you. I told my wife about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point. I said, I feel like God is getting ready to shift my ministry. And I feel like God is getting ready to put me into a place of greater influence, even dealing with other ministers. Did I not tell you that? And 2 years later, God did it. I'm not trying to preach to you about me. I'm preaching to you about you. I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what you think the Lord has done for you. What do you think he's given you? Stop complaining and whining and saying, I'm not offering God, God. God has everything to offer you, and you have everything to offer him. Just give him your life. Just give him your best. Just give him everything that you've got. Because he gave you everything he had. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 18, if you don't care to put it on the screen. While you're turning there, how many people in this building, the Lord gave you a purpose and a reason to live? Like, you really didn't feel it before then. A lot of people. Because he gives you purpose. 2 Samuel 24 and 18. We're going to go down to verse 25, Brad. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, God. Did I say God or Gad? Isn't that supposed to be God? Well, let's move on past that one. And said unto him, go, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, it is Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord. Wonder if that's coincidental. That the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. And behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. God may have tested him to see how he would respond. It may have been a test to see if he would just take the threshing floor from Araunah, or if he would say, no, I'm not going to take anything for free. I'm going to pay for it, because David in his mind was indebted to the Lord. David knew how far the Lord had brought him, what he had brought him through, what he had done with him, how he has protected him, how he had spared his life from time and time again. I wish somebody understood why David felt indebted to the Lord. The Lord didn't say, you got to buy it, but he said, no, I'm not going to take anything that doesn't cost me and offer it unto the Lord. Ephesians 3 and 1, we see a very similar spirit in Paul. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, let me explain that to you. Paul said, for this cause, which is the grace that was afforded unto Paul, he said, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I made myself a prisoner of the Lord because of the cause that he has bestowed upon me, which is the grace of God. And he said, because he gave me everything when he gave me grace, I make myself his prisoner to do whatever God calls me to do, wherever he calls me, whenever he calls me. Paul never forgot about the Damascus transformation. He never forgot about the things that happened to him that day. He never forgot about what it was like when God filled him with the Holy Ghost, when he was baptized in his name. And in three of the epistles, Paul repeats these same words about being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he remembered his King and where the Lord brought him from. Our problem is, I don't think we remember the Lord when it comes to decision making. I think sometimes we forget who he is to us. He's not just your daddy, as some would say, who gave everything so you could do nothing. But he gave all in hopes that freely you have received, freely you need to give. And so we are indebted, whether you want to be or not. Because God expects us to stay. When we want to leave. Come play for me, honey. You poor folks are probably too tired to pay attention. I'll say it one more time. Because of the grace of God, because of Calvary, he expects us to stay when we want to go. He expects you to give when you don't want to. He expects you to forgive when you don't want to. He expects you to love when you don't want to. He expects you to have mercy when you don't want to. He expects you to be kind when you don't want to. He expects you to repent when you don't want to. He expects you to put your feelings aside when you don't want to. Why? You cannot brag and boast about what the Lord has done for you without feeling a sincere, deep sense of indebtedness to him in any way possible. I'm sure many of you feel the same way I do. I've not forgot where I came from. I've not forgotten how God has blessed me beyond words. When I look around me every day and I see what the Lord has done, it makes me feel such a great sense of humility, of pride and appreciation in my home and my family, in our church, is and how God has blessed me in ministry. I'm preaching to you what I wish somebody would have preached to me. I know some of you, you might be like, oh, you know, I'm the old bastard and God got to do nothing with me. Oh, God's so limited by your age, is he? He's so limited by the time that you've already spent on this earth. He's so limited by your circumstance. Well, my life's already ruined. Your life is never ruined if God is in the picture. Hope is never extinguished if the Lord is in control. This relationship with Jesus that they talk so much about, it must be built on more than what he has done for you. Because a relationship isn't one way. Talk to any spouse. And when there's marital problems, because typically one person is investing more than the other, or neither are investing anything. It takes two. Listen, I don't need somebody preaching to me that I'm indebted to the Lord. I don't need no black and white scripture that says you're indebted to the Lord. I've got enough scripture and I've got enough examples. And I see enough of those great men of God that gave everything because they felt such a sense of indebtedness to him. So I guess I've just come tonight to preach to you and tell you, remember who your king is. The one you claim that is yours. The Savior that you claim to be yours. The Messiah that you claim to love and honor. The Lord of glory that you claim to esteem so high. Remember, because he should never have to ask you to do anything for him. When you feel such a sense of gratitude and indebtedness and appreciation because of where you were. He found me in the worst place of life. He found me as an absolute nobody. I'm talking about me now, not you. He found a guy that couldn't graduate high school. I could, I just didn't. I never was known for my muscles or good looks. No talents. I told some people the other day, I said, do you know why God called me to preach? There's no Scots in Hollywood. There's no Scots in pro football and baseball. That's a good sign. That means spring is here. There's no Scott out there in the world doing great things, so God called me to preach. That's a good thing. I mean that. I'm serious. I mean, I know Scott Baio. Okay. Associate me with a dinosaur actor who never went very far. Thank you very much. That's why God called me to preach. And guess what? I'm thankful for every moment of it. I'm glad God got a hold of me before the world did. I'm trying to stop, and I'm going to stop. Some of you, I'm boring. Some of you, you're on board. I'm glad he got a hold of me before the world did. I'm glad he got a hold of me before I got my roots too far in the world. I'm glad he gave me purpose before the devil gave me purpose. Before the world gave me something to live for. I'm thankful that the Lord did this for me. I'm so thankful for how God has blessed my life. He has blessed my home. He's blessed me with a faithful wife and with great boys and children, and with a great church and people who I know love us and people who we love dearly and we would go to the ends of the earth for. And the Lord knows that's the truth. You know why? Because I feel I owe God everything. I don't care. I don't need someone to preach me and tell me what I owe. I already know it myself. I'll make up those rules myself. I owe him everything. Because he took nobody and he made him somebody for his kingdom and for his glory. And I don't care how the world recognizes me. All I care is how the Lord looks at me. So, I'm closing. who much is given. Stop asking for much if you're not willing to give much. Stop asking God to do the impossible if you won't do even the smallest thing. Now, you ask all you want. But I know, and I'll say it over and over again, you reap what you sow. If you want to sow bountifully, reap the same way. For those of you that ask me about tithing, there you have it. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. I don't care about your money. You know I don't even talk about tithing hardly ever. But I can tell you this. In 2006, when we bought this property, and I went down to camp meeting, and this is for those who have never heard the story, and I'm done with this testimony. In that time, we had $8,000 in the bank. We put $5,000 down on the property and owed him another $12,000, $13,000. He let us make him payments because we couldn't get a loan. The bank, Brother Marlin, Andover Bank, wouldn't even talk to us. After he built the building, they sent us a basket of flowers. I thought that was hilarious. I did. That was hilarious. Anyway. So we gave $5,000 of the $8,000 we had to try and buy the property. We had to build the building. Didn't know how we were going to do it. Couldn't get a loan. Nobody would give us a loan. Went to camp. Preacher got up and said, they were raising funds for something. And he said, God wants some of you to give. You have that money earmarked for something else, but God wants you to give it here. Because in the first appeal, I ignored him. You know why I ignored him? Because I said, we don't have it. All we got is $3,000. We got to build a building. That's what I said. Right hand to God. And then, as if God is listening in on your conversations, some of you have this money earmarked for something, but God wants you to give it here. I looked at my wife. I feel the Holy Ghost right now because that's how God moves on us. And I said, we got to do it. She said, you go ahead. We wrote the check. We sent it out. We had 6 months to pay that loan off before the interest kicked in. And I wish I could give you all the details, but I'm already boring you too much as it is. 4 days left on that 6 months, and someone came into the church. They had come into a settlement for something, and their tithing was about $6,000. And one of their relatives said, no. They said, you need to give $10,000. That's what I believe you need to give. I wasn't involved in the conversation, so don't get offended at me. They came in and wrote that $10,000 check 4 days before that was due. And we paid the property off. You know what that is? That's tenfold of the $1,000 that we put in the offering that night. And I could tell you miracles. I wish you had time and you weren't worried about going home and eating a sandwich. Because I could talk to you about the miracles God has done with us financially. Every time we've given more and more until we gave our building fund. And years later, God gave it back by causing us to exceed our building fund goal by about 120%. When people gave and told me, we're not giving anymore. And I went into the prayer room and said, God, they got it. They need to give more. And they give another $30,000 or $40,000 to the building fund. And I'm not making that up one bit. Because God honors giving. I can tell you about the time the Lord told me to give $5,000 at a conference. It wasn't my money, just it was the church's money. I've always been very careful to give with what we have because I want the church to be blessed. And I didn't have $5,000. I didn't want to give it. Do you know why? Because of the church we were giving it to. I thought the preacher was the biggest stuck-up guy in the world. They said, bow your heads and pray what the Lord wants you. Jesus. What do you want me to give? $5,000. No, that's not right. I kid you not. I got sick. So I wrote it. Told my wife, I don't know how. Boy, I wish I could tell you what God has done with this church. I wish I could remind you about the two buildings that were given to us, two church buildings. I wish I could remind you about how God has blessed us financially abundantly because of you and your faithfulness and how God has blessed you and what God has done for so many in this place. Hey, he's not done yet. Don't you look at the little things. He's got so much more because God honors those that will give into the storehouse. Yes, he does. Stand with me if you would. So, He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. I don't want to reap sparingly. Do you know why I don't want to reap sparingly? Because I can't fight the fight of money. So we just decided to sow bountifully. And I am so thankful. I know I don't say it enough. For the giving nature of this church. Brother Vince, I wish you had time to come up here and tell everybody about when we did the building fund and when you gave. And how much was your pay raise when you gave that $1,000? Actually, it was about $1,100 or $1,200 because you guys wanted to give more. And they gave you the pay raise, which how much was it? Was it about a $10,000 a year pay raise? And then when you gave the extra, his boss came back to him and said, you know what? I didn't give you enough. I want to give you more. God's honest truth. Now, everybody doesn't have those stories. But when you take that moment and you give in faith, when God moves upon you, he'll always prove himself in a way that is manifest and revealed to you. Now, there are other ways. You may never get a pay raise. And your car may never break down. I love when people come to me. Oh, Pastor, I got a good car. My car's on its last legs. We got one person. They're not here tonight. I hope you're watching. They told me that for 4 years. I finally said, how many more years are you going to tell me your car's on its last leg? God may not be ready to give you the $10,000 pay raise yet, but he'll prove himself in other ways. In little ways, when you feel desperate, God will come up some way. I'm just trying to tell you, he takes care of his own. That's why I'm indebted to him. And that's why I want to remember who my king is. He's the one that gives everything. He gave everything and he continues to give. And I want to give back everything that I can give until he takes me out of this life. Would you lift your hands? Lord Jesus, you know, God, how you're speaking and who you're speaking to. And you know, somebody no doubtedly needed to hear this tonight for some reason or another. I don't know. And the rest of us, we needed to hear it. And we don't know we needed to hear it. God, I pray that you'll teach us to remember who you are. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your situation. And don't question why God didn't when you asked him last time. He knows what he is doing. But I want to give God my everything. I want to give him everything. I want to commit myself deeper and farther. And I know that God will continue to do more. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 Jesus, my God, my God, my God, I love you. Let it settle in our hearts tonight, Lord.
So let's start right now. Why would we wait? We can praise you now in victory.
To stop living in unrighteousness, it's called Calvary. It's called everything that He gave to set you free from that life. Do you want a reason to fix your home? It's called, I want God to get glory for my lifestyle. I want Him to get glory for how we live. I want people to see my house and I want them to see Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's why we fix it. That's why we try to be better as men. That's why we try to be better as women. That's why we try to be holy as He is holy, that He would be exalted in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just wanna be with You. Just wanna be with You.
Keep singing. Let's sing without any music for a second. Hallelujah. Let's sing it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. King of glory. Hallelujah.
The King of glory, fill this place. I just want to be with You.
Yes, Lord.
Just one
King of power! Yes! Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory!
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Fill this place. I just want to be with You.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Just wanna be with You. Just wanna be with You. Yes, Lord, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with You. Just wanna be with You. Just one.
I don't know about you, but I want to go out giving God everything I've got. I don't know how to give any more, but I'll keep, if I can milk any last blood out of me, I'm going to give it to Him. I'll do my best to find the balance, but I owe Him everything because of what He did for me. Praise God. Praise God. You can get something ready back there, Brad. We're going to stop. But you pray as long as you want, but you men that want ministry, you see how people come around you because they love you, because God has begun to honor you in their eyes. You owe Him everything because of that. Because whom much is given, much is required. If God lifts you up in the eyes of your peers, then you owe Him everything. Fix your circumstance. Fix your home. Fix your life. Fix your relationship. Fix everything you can fix because you owe Him everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and call unto the Lord one more time. Pray as long as you want, because the Lord is not finished in this place tonight. Hallelujah.